thinks he's a good God. He's amazing. A mess up here. It's all good. So I got my word ready yesterday, all day, the whole entire day. And I still was not quite right at the end of the night. So I spent an hour in the office when I came, and I was just about to print it all. Yes, it's all in the right order. It's exactly what I want to say. And I pressed print, and the whole thing disappeared. Hallelujah. So I've got the not quite in order one printed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me today. Anyway, God is good. I got some really funnies for you, okay, just to start with. I like the idea of starting with some jokes, so I've got some. If you're an American when you go into the bathroom, an American when you come out of the bathroom, what are you when you're in the bathroom?
European.
Yes, you are European. You might not know this one. What did the fish say when he swam into a wall?
Damn.
Yes. Here's a pun. Here's a play on words. Okay, so a pun, a play on words, and a limerick walk into a bar. No joke. It's pretty cryptic, isn't it? Okay, I like some. Sometimes I really liked, if you know our family, you know that we really like to be a wee bit sarcastic in our humour, which is a wee bit slamming and damning if you don't understand us. I was trying to look for something sarcastic, but they wouldn't give me anything. Yeah, it is. It's pretty bad. It truly is. It is. Okay, here's a hilarious example of irony which I found for you. And you might have to spend some time thinking about this, like I had to read it three times. So McDonald's employee health page, which is now shut down, once warned against eating McDonald's burgers and fries. Yeah, it's irony. So McDonald's employee health page, now shut down, warned its own employees against eating McDonald's hamburgers and fries. I think that's funny. Okay, God is good. He's not funny, but he is funny. He's tremendously funny. I haven't got this on my notes, but I've been meditating on this for ages. When I was in youth group, one day we had body ministry, right? So we're in, you know, home group, someone's home. They'd open up their home and let us come in, and they'd disappear for the whole evening. Anyway, all that to say, here we are. We're going around the body. The body is ministering. Everyone's giving something of their worth. Someone said something about, and there is a scripture that talks about devouring and eating the word of God. And my son, funny sense of humour, saw someone with a knife and fork and eating the Bible. I thought it was funny, so I laughed. And the next person started, I was still laughing. And they were like, come on now. And it's getting closer to me. I'm thinking I'm having to share something soon, but I'm still laughing. I can't stop laughing. And the person who's sharing now wasn't the one who said anything about eating the word of God and come on now, the joke has finished. And I'm laughing uncontrollably, trying hard to control it. Like, you know how bad it is when you're trying hard to control it. The more harder I tried to control my laughing, the worse and out of control it got. And I went from snorting to outwardly just outbursts of cackling, and I did that all night. They had to jump bypass me, and I didn't know what was happening. I did not know. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know what was happening. I just thought, I've just got a real bad case of the laughs. But listen, the more serious I got with myself, the more I outrageously laughed. That meeting stopped, finished. I must have laughed in that meeting for about three quarters of an hour. The meeting stopped. I was so embarrassed because they're all looking at me, and some of the people who are sharing are like, you know, got their old judgmentals on and like, what are you doing? Shut up now. Come on, the joke's finished. I couldn't. I literally couldn't stop laughing. So the meeting finished. I was so embarrassed. I went and sat outside. I thought, I'll go outside in the cool evening air. you know, this is in Frankton, so, you know, you're looking at the lake and it's beautiful and all the rest of it. But no, it was a wee bit, must have been like this time of year because it was cool. And I thought the coolness would calm me down. I sat outside by myself for half an hour laughing. I could not stop. I literally couldn't stop. I was so embarrassed. Sometimes God likes to touch us. And laughing is a good way of healing us. Did you know how good laughing is for you? Do you know how good it is? It's like eating a block of chocolate. That's how good it is. Same endorphins. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Do you know that if you laugh, fake laugh, now, if you fake laugh, it's as if it does the same in your body as if you're actually laughing. How cool is that? So, you know when you're a bit depressed, right, you can't laugh. Hey, you know, it's just not possible. You can try all you like when you're a bit depressed, but you can fake laugh. Ha, 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 ha. It's like, I'm not feeling happy right now. Ha, 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 ha. I don't know, sometimes you can actually, it's good, it lifts you. How amazing is that? Just laughter. We're going to talk about God is good. And because my perfectly in order notes have gone into spaceland somewhere, I'm going to start, and they're going to be jumping all around the place. But we're going to go to Psalm 104, verse 5. So we want to talk about God as good, that he is the Father of love, he's the author of peace and goodness, and God's intentions toward us are good. Did we have to think about that? No. He describes himself as being gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. How much of Psalm 104 have you got all the way? So I'll have to read it off here. Oh, I can read it off there, can't I? I didn't turn around. You place the world on its foundation so it would never be moved. You clothe the earth with floods of water and water that covered the mountains. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you'll be on the word today that we'll hear your word, and your word will be a seed to us, Lord, that we'll carry it in our spirit, Lord, and that inside of us, Lord, that will grow, Lord, new shoots of faith, Lord. As we hear your word today, we're open, Lord, to having the seed of the word come and fruit and within us. In Jesus' name, amen. At your command, the water fled. The sound of your thunder, it hurried away. When I'm reading, please picture what you're hearing. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels that you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the sea so they would never cover the earth again. You made springs pour water into the ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send the rain on the mountains from your heavenly home, and you fill the earth with the fruit of your labor. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth. Wine to make them glad. I don't do that. Olive oil to soothe their skin. I did some of that this morning. And bread to give them strength. I had some of that this morning. The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, and the storks make their homes in the cypresses. High in the mountains live the wild goats, and the rocks form a refuge for those things, hyraxes. You made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to set. How amazing. Well, how would that look if the sun didn't know when to set? You send the darkness, and it becomes night, and when all the forest animals prowl about. Then the young lions roar for their prey, stalking for the food provided by God. At dawn, they slink back into their dens to rest. And then people go after their work, where they labor until evening. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In the wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. See the ships sailing along, and Leviathan, which you made to play in the sea, and we don't know what that was, that kind of creature, it doesn't live anymore. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. When you give them your breath, life is created and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all he has made. The earth trembles at his glance, the mountains smoke at his touch. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth. Let the wicked disappear forever. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He has created a place for everything. And he's created everything. Every ecosystem that every little creature needs, he created it. He didn't leave one part of it out. Think about that for a little minute. How many ecosystems can you think of? Like, for me, there's just too many. There's like millions of insects. There's millions of birds. They each have different ecosystem, a different needs, a different set of needs. Well, he created it all, and he catered for every species type. Like, wow, hello. He didn't forget us. We all that have our different areas of the earth that we do well in and we live in, and we of course we can live across the world, but we're used to living in this half hot, half cold, four seasons continent, and then you go to Africa and it's just all summer. All year round, they're used to it. He created them with their skin that can handle the sun all the time. How cool is that? How vast is that? What does that say about the goodness of God? Like everything that, every ecosystem that needs, the water, the food, the right environment, he created that for every living thing, including you and me. And he didn't forget anything. Me, if I was doing it, I'd forget half of it and I'd make them all the same. Oh, you can all eat that kind of food. All the birds can eat that. And then I couldn't do it. It's far too much organisation. I can't even think that fast. I mean, that's, wow, big. It's really big. My biggest thought that I've ever had was that every single sunset is different. This is much bigger than that. So I had this really awesome revelation. If you can imagine the sun setting every day in the same place. Actually, it doesn't. Did you know that? It's a few degrees every day. So every single day that the sun sets, the sunset is different. If you set your camera up on one particular area where you see the sun setting and took a photo at sunset, I guarantee you they'd be vastly different every day. And somebody says to me, yeah, but what about in those places like Hawaii where it's sunny all the time and there's no clouds in the sky? Bet you if you go out there every day, you get a different sunset because it is in a different position. You've got the temperature variations, which create different colours in the sky, what weather's coming, where the wind's blowing from, is there a wisp of cloud that comes across right at that moment at sunset? That's vast, but this is vaster. This is much, 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 much more vaster. That says to me how good God is, because he thought about every single living creature in creation, plants and animals, everything, and gave everything that thing needed to live and sustain life. Not only that, but we all know that he makes this thing. If this thing didn't do this, this thing wouldn't, you know, all that bounce off effect. We all feed off each other, all those things. You know, it's way over the top of my head already. But anyway, that's how big God is. How cool is that? Today we're talking about how good he is. So he's come to give us an amazingly fulfilled life. And we are never deprived or depleted when we worship or live for him. John 10:10 says, got some things that tell us about how good he is. John 10:10 says, the thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. How cool is that? His desire for each and every one of us is that we will have a life that is so abundant in goodness that it overflows. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? Who wants that? Me. I want a life that overflows. Sometimes we hear things. Where am I going now? Hang on. Just checking. Yep, there it is. The last page. It's not the last page, actually. I should have numbered them. I don't know where it actually is. Anyway, he's a good God. Sometimes we hear people saying that, I've gone through this trial, that the Lord has given to me, or I have sickness in my body, it must be God's will for me to have this. So therefore, it's never God's will for anyone to have sickness. It's never God's will, and the bad stuff never comes from him. In verse... everything that God actually does is beautiful. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, "You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees." We're in Psalm 119, 68. Everything you do is beautiful, flowing from your goodness. Teach me the power of your wonderful words. Good things can only come from a good source. If the source is good, what is going to come out? Is bad stuff going to come from that source? What do you reckon? Nope. So good things come from a good source. Bad things come from a bad source. James 3, 11 and 12 says, James 3, 11 and 12. He's got to go all over the place. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go to pick some figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out of the same spring? No. So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water. That's pretty cool, hey? I have a different version because I didn't write it down on my page, so he doesn't know what version I have. It's all good. But the enemy, so the feet, John 10:10 says, so we see that God is good, right? Yeah, we agree that God is good. So where does... The source of the enemy, source of the bad stuff has to come from a bad thing. So it says the thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter and destroy. But I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness, that we read this at the start, till you overflow. So he doesn't bring sickness to its lives. We can be sick sometimes because of unforgiveness or unconfessed sin or arthritis. And they medically can prove now that emotional wounds that are unhealed, they can actually medically prove that they're connected to conditions like heart disease and arthritis and blah, blah, blah. So it's actually proven. There's a doctor who's actually studied it. And they can actually show where the emotional wounds that have not been released and healed hinder and impinge our body. But that's not a reason to say, you're sick, so therefore you must have whatever. We don't do that neither. But just something to be aware of. We just want to look at all this stuff. That the very nature of God is that he loves us and he cares for the minute details of every living creature. How much more important are we to him than every living creature? Trials do come. They do come. But they're not necessarily sent of God. There are other reasons why bad stuff comes. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, 9 to 11. I've got a little bit of scripture here. Won't take very long to get through, I don't think. Take a decisive stand against him and resist this is the enemy, the devil. We need to take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. That's what we were doing today at the altar call when we came up and we were talking about, in our minds, getting attacks on our minds, anxiety, depression. What was the other things? The words and judgment. And that's when we've got a war against these things. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of troubles that you endure. And then, after your brief suffering, guys, hello. So if you're in a trial, just look at the trial and say, you're brief. The God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Hello? I love that. Personally, I seem to do lots of trials. But he's making me powerful and more stronger than ever. Not powerful in my own self, powerful in Christ. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up, and he has all the power needed to do this. Amen. Do you know how powerful it is reading scripture over your life? I love doing it, and I don't do it often enough. Sometimes we go through, there's other things that bring bad stuff to us, and that is like the works of the flesh. We come up against, you know, it's just the flesh. Galatians 5:19 says the cravings of the self life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favoured, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. It's a good one, isn't it? I love that. This is the Passion Translation. Being envious of the blessings of others. We don't do that, do we? Murder. I've never done that. But I have met people who have done that. Uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all the similar behaviour. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God? So these are the lusts of the flesh, right? So we can't attribute any of those things there that I've just read out to God. They can be attributed to the flesh and the workings of the flesh, right? We got that? Cool. I've got that. It's right in here. And it's right in here. It's got to drop from here to here, eh? Always got to drop from here to here. Sometimes it takes a wee while to get down to there, but it gets there. So God is not the source of bad or evil. And especially if we're looking at people and doing the comparing thing, you know, that they're really good, you know, and obviously, oh, God won't love me because he really loves Nikki because she's up the front singing, and look at her singing, and she can sing really well, and I can't sing very well. God doesn't do all that comparing stuff. So don't you do it either. I don't do it to you. I don't go, look at them all sitting down there in their seats. I wish I'd be down there. I don't do that. And I don't really necessarily care to be up here either. It's just, we don't do the comparing thing. But we can actually trust him in regardless of the circumstances that we are facing. Hey? So, I had this burn on my thumb just a couple of weeks ago. I went to my mum's house and we're trying to sell it, so I thought I'd better tidy it. I hadn't seen it for a couple of months, so I thought I'd better take the lawnmower around and do the gardening. So, you know, the lawnmower's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 done. You know, it's not very big. So I'm lifting the lawnmower back into the van. I've done it thousands of times. We girls used to mow the lawns down at Arapuki, and it's every week, you know, lift the lawnmower in and out. I don't know what happened, but my thumb just brushed the side of the hot mower as I'm putting it in the van. It's like, how did that even happen? A, it was a mistake. I didn't mean to do that. B, I don't even feel myself touching it. It was not a touch. It was merely a brush. I didn't even feel it. We were in a hurry. Wayne was in a hurry. I went and got some water. I was trying to water the garden. Wayne's going, get in the car. We've got to go now. It's like, okay, right. And I'm coming. Turn the tap off. Hop in the car. He really done it properly. It's sore. Don't you know? I burned myself. Anyway, all the way home, licking it. Thank you, Jesus. Get home. I was blistered. Oh, for goodness sake. I'm a nurse. I know how to look after my burns. I've always looked after burns really well, so much so that they don't blister ever. For goodness sake, it's blistered. Oh, failure. Oh, it's not sore. It's all right. It'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'm doing stuff. Oh, I want to do this. You should cover it up, Nikki. Yeah. I'll just do this. Oh, darn it. I've bumped it. I didn't mean to bump it. You know what happens in your bumper burn blister? It bursts. Oh, there we go. It's all burst. Oh, well. It's still not sore. Thank you, Jesus, for healing it. Carry on doing something. Too busy to cover. Should cover it up. Yeah, I know. Should cover it up. So it's okay. It's not hurting. It'll be fine. Do something else. Reach into something. Pull something out. Oh, my gosh. Another very slight touch. And the blooming blister comes off. I break the skin, and then I've got blood now. It's exposed to the ear. It's still not very sore right now. This carries on for a couple of days, me doing stuff and not covering it, and I keep bashing it. Till the second night, I'm in bed, and the bloomer thing's waking me up.
Throb, 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 throb.
Say, oh my gosh. So I get through, Ginny says, oh, I'll bring you some burn cream, Mum. She brings me some burn cream, I cover it, and it's 2 weeks later, it's still just healing, but it's nearly healed. But how easy it is for us to get wounds in our heart. You know, they're just the same. You know, someone comes along and says something to you and it's like, burn. You go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Come just in on that right now. But we just don't spend that time just really soaking in God and just really hearing what he says about us. And then we carry on. We go, thank you, Jesus. I just release any forgiveness that I have to forgive you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help me to. That's not me. It's not who I am. And da-da-da, carry on. And then someone else comes along and says something. And nothing, it's not intentional. It's a brush against my wound. And it bursts. And you go, oh, that hurt more than I thought. Why did that hurt? Thank you, Jesus. I go to Jesus again. But again, I don't spend time, just quality time with him, hearing what he's saying about me. And I just carry on in my day. And then someone, it's another brush with something, something says something, they have no idea what they've said, but it's hit my sore spot, and now I'm bleeding. I didn't think I was this bad, and I didn't know about that, God, I don't know. Oh, please come, and I'm, you know, you're crying, and this can go on for a little bit of time, and no one knows what they're doing. It's just because you're brushing up against something that's a wee wound in your heart. But God wants us to come aside. He didn't do that, right? Was that God who did that? Wasn't. Why? So why am I here? God, you must be wanting to teach me a lesson. You must have brought this to me because you must be wanting me to see. This thing must be, I must have deserved it. I must have deserved it. All those negative thoughts, that's the enemy. That is not God. We do not deserve to be burned. We do not deserve to have our burns and our wounds touched and fester and seep all over the place and cause us more pain than they should. Our emotional wounds are the same as the wound on our skin, but they're just in your heart, right? Exactly the same. Good word picture, wasn't it? No, God did not put me through that burn so I could give you this illustration today. But he will use it, you see. He will use the stuff that we go through for his good. He will use it for his good. That which the enemy intends toward us for evil, he turns it for good. One day, when we get to heaven, we will not have stuff in trials and temptings and testings. We will just be there. But when we get there, we'll be standing. Well, actually, we'll have this amazing. Oh, I love this scripture. I haven't put it in here, but you know, there's a scripture that says that lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do you know that one? Oh, just love it. Because it really is a motivator for me. It's like, okay, I do a lot of moaning. I don't know. Some of you might have heard me because I sometimes do it verbally. But I do moan sometimes, and God tells me off every now and then, because that's a sin too. You're not allowed to moan, but it's one of my worst. It's the one that I fly to so much. Oh, this isn't going well. It's not right. It shouldn't be doing like this. Oh, God. And so he goes, Nikki, you're grumbling, and I can't bless you when you're grumbling. Okay. What will I say now? But he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. When you go through terrible stuff, or you think it's terrible stuff, it's probably not as terrible as it actually is. God's probably saying, it's okay. I've got the burn. Just come to me. Just cover it. Let me cover you. And I go, yeah, that's right. But anyway, laying up for yourself treasures in heaven, it really helps me to go through stuff that I wouldn't. If I wasn't doing the role that I'm doing, and if I wasn't active in church, if I wasn't doing this role, if I was just simply active in church, I wouldn't get quite as hurt, I don't think. Maybe. Maybe, question mark. But you're laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. I wonder what my house is going to look like in heaven. We build our houses here, right? We don't build them when we're here, but up there. Once we're there, we've got what we've laid up for ourselves here. That's a different story. But there's a whole scripture about laying. He who builds, you either build with wood or straw or sticks or whatever. And in that end day, whatever burns, that's in whatever you're left with, after it's burned, is what remains. So make sure you build with materials that is substantial, which will remain. So your sticks and your wood and your straw, that all burns. But the stuff that remains is your trials, right? Because when I go through a trial, it's heat and it's pressure and it forms. Yeah. So I want. And what else? What are these called when we, what do they call these in heaven? No, they don't call them tears in heaven. They call them, pearls. They call them pearls. Every tear you cry is gathered. An angel's around with a jar that's marked James. He's going, I've got that one, I've got that one, I've got that one. Building your house with the pearls and with the diamonds and with all those other stuff. It's just not in my notes now because I can't follow them anyway. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we can go through circumstances and we can trust him in our circumstance. All that to say he's good. He's a good God. When we share testimonies, this helps us to have faith and for our faith to grow. When we hear how others have grown in their faith. And I've got a couple of stories. I've asked for two stories from my daughters in terms of how God has been good. I asked on our family page and they said, they said one or two words. So I've built a whole story around their two words. So when my second oldest daughter, Amber, was studying, she wanted to go into uni, and the teachers will tell the kids when they're studying to no social life, so no church, no youth group, nothing. And I'm going, and I would always challenge them, and I say, if you put God first, he'll crown your efforts with success. So how about we do church and youth group and everything else you can not do? And they say, right, eh? So Amber did that. Not only did she do that, but when she started her study session, she would do 15 minutes of journaling, journaling. So that meant if she stopped for lunch and had a wee break, she'd go back and she'd do 15 minutes of study. It could be worship, it could be prayer, it could be in the Word and journaling. She'd do, every time she went to study, she'd do 15 minutes. I went, oh. I says to her one day, and not just doing it, it's the other day. She goes, no, I do it every time. Okay, she did that. That last year at school, she ended up being ducks. She had so many trophies, she had to have a basket to carry them off the stage. And it was between her and another guy who was actually much more intellectual than she was. And she tells me, Mum, she says to me later on, she says, I'm just an average student, I just work hard. However, the following year, she starts uni, she did the same thing. I've actually found her diary in one of the boxes that's been chewed by rats and stuff in the garage that we have to keep. And here's her journal, and please help this person. Please help me, God. Please help me with all the temptations that are carrying on in university. Please help this person who's not doing so well and they're depressed and they're whatever. Please help this person. Oh, God, please help me with this temptations and the blah, blah, blahs. Sorry, Amber, I read it. but the thing is, she still journaled. And during her time of university, she not only kept going to church, she took other people to church with her. She, second year in uni, she got a life group, and she in her life group, she tended to get all the hard ones, the ones who were anorexic and cutting themselves. She got all those girls, about 9 or 10 of them, and she would have to meet with them one-on-one to help them through their issues and help them find Jesus so that Jesus would heal them from this. And her and I would be on the phone a lot talking about all this stuff. In the first year in her university, she got two honours. She got invited into the honours of economics and invited into the honours of Spanish. In Spanish, she had only just started that year. It took 3 weeks to choose the subject for a start off, so she's on the back foot already by the time she gets into the class. And not only that, but she, at the end of the year, so she got honours above other students who'd been studying it for 3 years at school and who had become first in class in their schools, which were much larger, city schools, which is quite a thing. Now she's working in the Reserve Bank. She couldn't have done this on her own. That's the whole point of it. The testimony is not, look at my daughter, how awesome she is. The testimony is she couldn't have done that without the help of God, because of God's goodness on her life, because she put him first. And he did exactly what that scripture says, that he'd come and make her strong and help her overcome. And she had plenty to overcome. She had anxiety attacks in her first year of working at the Reserve Bank that threatened her whole job, really. She was so crippled by anxiety, she didn't want to go to work. And the wonderful Leslie over here spoke some words of wisdom into her heart, and she believed them, and she did them, and it worked. Amen. Amen to that, amen. God was with her. It was not without trial. It was not an ease thing. God will bless us, and he will, if we put him first. Doesn't mean he will take away every trial and circumstance that we don't walk through, but he will. The goodness of God is that he will come and he will bless what we do walk through and what we do overcome. My other testimony is from another daughter, and again, it's not here, I'm scouting my children, so I actually just asked them for a testimony. I didn't ask anyone else. Virginia finished uni, average student, wanted to go to university. She's got Amber's saying from above, she's saying, come on, Jenny, come up. You need to go to university. What should I do? I don't know if I want to go to university. It seems so hard. Amber's going, come on, you can do it. You can do it. So Amber is the motivator. So Virginia applies for university. Virginia didn't have enough credits to go to university, but she applied for the course that she wanted. And I said, I'll pray with you, Virginia. And she gets accepted. That's awesome, isn't it? Someone else who had more points and more credits than Virginia did applied for the same university course in the same university and got turned away. Virginia should never have been at university. Her first semester was not easy, and she didn't tell us about it, and she failed the first semester entirely, which then she had to resit all these papers. She didn't redo the first semester, she carried on, and she resit the papers that she missed at the same time. And she was still resitting some of those papers, and it was touch and go. But by the grace of God, because the goodness of God, she passed. Amen. It was not without trial. But the goodness of God was, she got through. And he has blessed her. She now has a job. She still came part of the worship team. She's taking on more responsibilities with the worship team. She says to me, I'm taking on more responsibilities at work now, Mum. She's giving me more responsibility, but I don't want to put off the responsibilities that I have in church because I'm giving her more of a role with the worship team. And she's worship leading every second week. That's part of the thing. And she says, I just want to know how can I do it and do it all. And God will bless her, because she's putting him first, because she's inviting him into the circumstances. Mark 10:18 says, Jesus responded, why do you call me good? Jesus said this. Why do you call me good? It's not that my daughters are amazing, but it's that God was good. Jesus looked at them and said, with people it is impossible, but not with God. God makes all things possible. Then Peter spoke up and said, can't you see that we've left everything we had to cling to you? We've left everything we had, so we come and cling to you. And listen to my words, Jesus says, anyone who leaves his home behind or chooses me over children, parents, family, and possessions, all for the sake of the gospel, it will come back to him 100 times as much in this lifetime. Homes, family, mothers, brothers, sisters, children, possessions, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, he will inherit eternal life. But many who are considered to be the most important now will be the least important then. And many who are viewed as the least important now will be considered the most important then. I had this thought come to me the other day. It was really encouraging to me, and it's just based on Psalm 126:5. One day they will say to me, why are you so joyful? And I'll be able to say, because I've sown in tears. I've sown my tears. hundreds. Did you get Psalm 126, verse 5? Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. It's a really good scripture. It's a very, very motivational scripture for me. It's always been a motivational scripture for me when I was at home. My dad was an alcoholic dad, and he used to love with his fists. Or he used to ask questions with his fists too. When he didn't understand something, his fists helped him understand. And I was so blessed because my siblings decided that they would take my blows for me. So they protected me, and I never had a beating from my father, just a tongue lashing. Who knows that tongue lashings can be just as bad? When someone tells you all your life that you're stupid every time you do a mistake, you start believing it. For me, it is most incredible that I have raised daughters who have been to university, for a start off, and have amazing jobs, and are doing the best that they possibly can. I don't think I could have ever gone to university. I scraped through what I did do. But God is blessed. God is a good God. God is a good God. He will reward everybody who leaves behind his home and chooses over me, over parents, family, possessions, all for the sake of the gospel. It will all come back to him. It all comes back to you. It comes back, it comes back, it comes back. You've got to keep casting your bread upon the waters, and soon it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Soon it will come back to you. We didn't sing that song at church. I just sang it because it was amazing. I got to cast my bread. I got to sow my tears. I got to sow my tears. If I want joy, I sow my tears. If I want diamonds in my house in heaven, I go through my trials and I got to overcome. The trial doesn't matter. It's the overcoming. Forget about the trial. Focus on overcoming. Don't think about the trial. Focus on how do I overcome this? How do I get the victory? This is not God doing this to me. It's just a trial. He's a good God. He is not the source of bad circumstances. But he helps us. He helps us to be triumphant. You don't have to have the strength. That's the cool thing. When you're weak, he is strong. You don't have to be strong. Yay! Celebrate! It's amazing. That's God. You don't have to be the best of the best. You don't. Just be you. Say, God, I have a need. I'm strong when I can recognize my need. I'm strong then, because then I can overcome. I have Jesus. He'll come and help me overcome. It is 12 o'clock. Let us close. Look for the good. Maybe you can't see the good right now, but it is here. It is there. Let's just stand and let's have some multi-tracks humming in the background. Nope, you'll have to do it, Jade. I want you to just take some time to think. Whatever trial it is that you're going through right now, just take that right now. And it might be a little tiny one, or it might be a massive one. It doesn't matter. I want you to take your trial in your hands and in your heart. I want you to just offer it up to God. And ask him this. Show me the good. Lord, show us the good. How many of you have received an answer? Just wave your hand. Raise your hands if God has spoken to you. Thank you, Lord, for releasing more answers. Show us the good. Thank you, Lord. Show us, Lord, the good. We release the good by the grace of God. Raise your hands now. Who's had a word heard from God? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for those who have not heard the good, just release your goodness right now on their trial. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just release the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to be strong. We just need to know our need of you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us. We didn't choose you. You chose us. And we're here because you chose us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for drawing us deeper into you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I had a picture right then of someone was enclosed, someone felt really enclosed, and God's going to give you an ability to jump the fence because he's not the one who's enclosed you. The enclosure is not from him. He's going to give you the ability to jump the fence. Please note, he is not going to open the door or the gate. He's going to give you the ability, and he's going to give you the knowledge and the understanding of how to jump the fence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Actually, praise is one way of jumping the fence. Praise is one of the weapons you can use to jump the fence. Just by lifting your hands up and worshiping God, he's going to help you jump the fence when you worship God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love the power of your presence and how you empower us in our weaknesses. We thank you that you are good. Everything that is in you is good. We love you, Lord Jesus. I pray a blessing on all who are here today, that you will bless them as they leave today, that they would receive the word of God in their heart as a seed, Lord, that it would begin to be watered. I thank you, Father, for the love that you have for each and every one who is here, that you are lifting people out of circumstances that they've been in for a long time, and even mindsets are changing off people, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your promises. Lord, the promises that you have are good. Lord, that your plans that you have for us are good. That you are a very good God, and we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing each and every one. And the children, Father, bless the children as they have learnt this morning, and the teachers upstairs. Let there be a supernatural endowment and empowerment of your Holy Spirit upon them. And anyone who spent time out in the outside room in the service with the children, Lord, bless them, Father. Bless the children of this house. We love our children, Lord, and we want you to, Lord, impart to them a sense of freedom in the presence of God, that they will never feel locked up in the house of God, but only freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would just be upon us in this house as we grow in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cup of tea. Or you, or James.